Muslims.
So,
And so when we have sweeping statements like that of Trump, he's not making things easy for there to be a resolution, because it's expanding the zones, the regions of hostility, expanding them to an extent that it becomes unstoppable.
Well, Ishwayanko, we only have a minute, and I did want to repeat, since it's so important, his quote, if we attack, it will be fast, vicious, and sweet, is what he said. But I wanted to ask you in this last 30 seconds, why your visa was revoked to the United States?
I have a feeling that I haven't been flattering Donald Trump, and I see no reason to do that. And there have been occasions when I've had to speak up quite bluntly.
You compared him to Idi Amin of Uganda?
Yes. I think Trump should be flattered by the fact that I compared him to Idi Amin. I mean, Trump has said he likes war. I mean, I'm quoting him. Idi Amin was a man of war and brutality. Idi Amin considered himself a liberator. He called himself the last king of Scotland. He was going to liberate Scotland from the British.
Well, Ishwayanko, we have to wrap, but I'm going to ask you to stay with us because we're going to do part two of this discussion at democracynow.org. People can check it out. Well, Ishwayanko, Nigerian Nobel Prize winning author. That does it for our show.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service helping those who are feeling sad, struggling with alcohol or drug use, or just need someone to talk to. Trained counselors are able to listen and provide support 24/7. Confidential support is available by text or phone call to 988. More information is available at 988oregon.org.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. Today is Monday, the 3rd of November, and if you are listening live, it is 8:01 a.m. I am Cecil Prescott, and thank you so much for tuning in and for being a part of this community. If you are interested in sharing your thoughts or comments or questions, the Airroom phone number is 503-231-8187. Give us a call and share your thoughts as we continue on our journey as a community. Well, I hope your weekend went well, and yes, it was a weekend for Halloween, so quite a weekend. I hope everyone was safe and that those of you who celebrated had a good time. So, here's a quote. They were careless people, Tom and Daisy. They smash up things and creatures, and then retreated back into their money or their vast carelessness or whatever it was that kept them together and let other people clean up the mess they had made. F. Scott Fitzgerald from The Great Gatsby. Some of you may be aware that this weekend at the president's place in Florida, Mar-a-Lago, there was a Halloween party with a Great Gatsby theme. Represented Trump administration, I think, disregard for the lives of ordinary people. The federal government is shut down. Air traffic controllers are not being paid. Thousands of federal employees have been terminated. The administration refuses to release funds that have been set aside for SNAP benefits for March, for November. And it was pointed out to me by our engineer this morning that there's a piece in The Guardian this today that states that the top 10 billionaires made $698 billion since Trump took office 10 months ago. So, yes, Scott Fitzgerald quote is, I think, representative of where we are. I'll read it again. They were careless people, Tom and Daisy, and they smashed up things and creatures and then retreated back into their money or their vast carelessness or whatever it was that kept them together and let other people clean up the mess that they had made. And certainly they have made a mess. What are your thoughts on this administration's total disregard for the lives of ordinary people? Of interest, also, in these times, you're familiar that on late Sunday night, U.S. District Judge Karen J. Emmergut blocked President from sending National Guard troops from any state to Oregon for the next week until she issues a final decision. She granted a preliminary injunction about 5 hours before a temporary order barring the deployment of National troops to Portland was set to expire at midnight on Sunday. It followed an accelerated 3-day trial that ended last week. So, for the moment, the Trump administration's by a federal judge has been barred from sending National Guard troops from any state to Oregon for the next week until she issues a final decision. So, continue to stand strong, continue to resist, and it is emblematic, I think, of the various ways in which we can respond to the carelessness, the ruthlessness of this administration. There are means in which the judiciary is fulfilling its constitutional obligation by what we hope is checking the administration in their most extreme efforts to do harm to our society. So much is happening. So National Guard's troop will be prevented, at least, you know, who knows whether or not the administration will follow the judicial order, are prevented from coming to Portland. Also, in the meantime, the administration has not released, and I think I read somewhere where the president said he wants the courts to clarify what they mean when they said that you need to release the benefits that have been all there, that they have the authority to release these contingency funds for this emergency, so that supplemental nutritional program may continue. And while people are hungry, the president had a party this weekend in Mar-a-Lago, and the top 10 billionaires made $698 billion since Trump has taken office. And people are without their food supplement. Let's hear what you have to say. Let's hear from a caller this morning. Janet, good morning.
Good morning. I had a pretty crazy weekend. I turned 80. I got my spook baby myself. And then I'm up the mountain here, I have a problem because we have the most beautiful place in the world, and it's only open on the weekends because of the cut down on the. And so then I think my starter went out, and fortunately I met some of the nice people that can let me in today to go and take care of my car, because it'd be otherwise closed for the whole week till next weekend.
Oh.
But what I've been thinking about is solidarity, you know? Such an important thing. But in these days, the way that we have really been pushed and to despise each other and to not trust each other, that solidarity just in ourselves, to be stable enough and strong enough and to be not mixed, have mixed feelings about everything and to dread everything that's going on. When I was teaching at OSU, they had this one concept, I thought it was pretty awesome, called groupthink. Mm. And so it's a force field analysis to kind of get an idea about how the groupthink is developed. So the groupthink we would want is solidarity.
Mm.
And how would we get there so that we can recognize how mutual aid is so super critically imperative, and then that we can rise up and develop more trust in our in our neighborhood.
Yes.
But there's so many things that are sabotaging it, that conspiring us from being able to just really appreciate our neighbors, then people would totally having all the same problems, to have their minds all groomed to be leery of each other.
So what are some of those things that keep people apart and keep them leery of one another?
Well, the political, the whole systemic conspiracy to have us be at each other and propagandized, all the people don't really understand, have enough appreciation that they haven't read the People's History of the United States, except some people here in Oregon more so than other places.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mindset is like, oh, imperialism, they don't think that, and the neo-fascism, well, you guys are, it's like fascism is something that you should think is great. It's just bonkers. People are really undereducated. They booked the deliberate dumbing down of education in America. I can't remember how many years ago that was, that when I was teaching in summer school reading, and then the books that came in for the kids to read were not like really wonderful books about great integrity and character development. They were all some really strange, nutty-ass thing about some kid took a club and butchered. I mean, little kids in the first, second grade, like, they're reading this, they're coming, and then the school districts, they got money to pay for these, not even looking at what the kids are reading. And then books about, you know, it's just great if you go into a boarding school if you're an Eskimo, and then some kid that would be in my class, like, that wasn't great, that was horrible.
Right.
Everybody's all like, messed up and depressed and addicted to everything just to kind of, you know, medicate themselves from all that trauma.
I'd like to go back, you know, to a point you made earlier, your first point about the need for solidarity. And before we go on to our next caller, I want you to share examples of what people can do to build solidarity or in terms of mutual aid. What are a simple step of someone might do, you know?
Okay, well, I'll just give a couple of things kind of quick, because you get some extraordinary people that always call in. One thing is, you know, they got the churches and the gleaners and neighbors saying, do you need this? And behind the pizza place and this place, there's a box. People can bring some food. And then the other thing for me is, I know I've been here, I can't believe I've been here, for 40, I'm 80, for 40 years I've been learning not to be just a crazy Zionist, but I call myself a Jewish Buddhist who really cares about everybody the right way, not some nutty person. And I know kids that are almost 50 now, and they're having so many different difficult problems, that I can still be here and keep relationships intact, and to develop, to be stable enough myself. to, you know, take care of myself and then to develop more compassion. Well, compassion and wisdom are very difficult, so we have faith and confidence that we can encourage each other, just kind of try to say a kind thing, and just to not just lose our cool all the time, because things are just pretty easy to be bonkers and frazzled, but there's better ways to go.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Janet, for your thought and for reminding us to keep relationships intact. Compassion and wisdom is important. And happy birthday. Thank you for...
It's not really easy to keep relationships intact when you're dealing with all the grief and trauma that people are dealing with. And so we really have to try hard to give ourselves nurturing and to extend to people who are going through a lot these days. And thank you so much, Cecil. You're doing good.
Thank you so much, Janet. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. And that was Janet, who was sharing with us the need for solidarity. Let's go to our next caller, Santiago. Good morning.
Good morning. I think the one thing that's a lot of things that's really crucially important that is really, I mean, I definitely agree with Janet on solidarity, but the biggest thing that I think keeps us from solidarity is a very short institutional memory. We don't understand that we have been here before when, you know, particularly liberals and progressives are so surprised about what's happening to Latinos, particularly Mexicans. Like it's without the realization that this has happened multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is probably like the third or fourth time that we have attempted to be, they used to call it repatriation back in the day, but they purposely abuse our labor as undocumented immigrants. And then when they get too many of us, or they find it politically expedient to get something done, that's when they kick us out of the country.
Right.
And they,
it's amazing.
And go ahead.
No, I was saying it's amazing you brought this up. I was just reading about this morning, but continue. Yeah.
So, I mean, the labor of Latinos, particularly Mexicans, has been exploited for over 60 years. And it's because capitalism needs a class of people to exploit in order to extract the most profits. Mm-hmm. Now, the other side of that is what we're seeing in terms of how this government is dealing with us. We have to understand that this is how America has dealt with the rest of the world. Since its inception, basically.
Mm.
And Butch Ware brought up this great, said this great quote. He said, imperialism and fascism are two sides of the same coin. Imperialism faces outward, fascism faces inward. So what we're experiencing, as Malcolm X would say, is the imperial chickens coming home to roost.
Wow.
Now what makes it fundamentally different is that white liberals are finally feeling the sting. That might hurt some folks' feelings. But even white conservatives too, and that might hurt some feelings. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the Lakota brother about a week ago said, when the trouble finally lands on your doorstep, now you rise up and say no, Kings. He said, welcome to the starting line of the race that we've been running for 500 years.
I think that's such an important point you made in terms of, like, you know, welcome to our world and your observation. I think that you said very quickly that I think we should just reflect on is what we are seeing is how the U.S. has dealt with the rest of the world, and also your observation that for many people, many communities, this isn't anything new, and I'm sure you've commented or reflected on, you know, people who said, you know, the No Kings rally, we were the people of color, and some reflections I've heard of people making the same observation you making this morning of that. You're finally feeling the impact of.
Yeah. I mean, I've dealt with white liberals who literally look at the plight of black and brown folks and will say, it has said stuff to the effect, as long as I'm getting my pension, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And now this same dude who told me that is now out in the streets holding a sign. And it's like, if you got to wait till it comes on your doorstep, brother, you're already behind the eight ball. And, And that's, and you know, and that's, and I think that that's, if we want real solidarity, there needs to be a give from, I mean, it's great to see all these white people out in the streets, but they got to recognize that, you know, the fixing this situation is going to take more than just signs, you know, the mediocre concessions that this government has given black and brown, queer and trans and working people in general. All of the mediocre is what I call it, because that's what it has been, was only given through blood, sweat, tears, people putting their lives on the line.
People putting themselves on the line, and they are only maintained by people keeping with that same effort, because what we see is how quickly they're snapped away.
Yeah, democracy is a verb, it's not a noun, and Democrats and Republicans treat democracy like it's a noun, and it pacifies people, you know, when it's like it's a verb. But I think even more so than that, if we really want to create solidarity, we need to break away from this two-party system. I mean, we've seen it in other countries where they have broken away. And, you know, and granted, we've got 80 years of anti-communist propaganda we need to get over. But the fact of the matter is that the Democrats, if they aren't complicit, then they just aren't doing their job. They're supposed to be the opposition, and they clearly aren't. And that's why we need to find other places to put our time. It doesn't mean that electoral politics go by the wayside, but it means we can no longer afford to be educated by those who are receiving funds from the same people who mean to rule us and kill us.
Right.
And that might hurt, like I said, that might hurt some people's folks, you know, some folks' feelings too, but that's just the truth of the matter. You know, Malcolm X called it out 60 years ago. He said, you know, the difference between the wolf and the fox is that the wolf is out there. You can see what he's doing. He doesn't attempt to hide it, but the fox is slick. He can bear his teeth in the shape of a smile, so you take him for a friend. But they're both predators.
Okay.
You got to treat them like that.
Hey, thank you so much. We have another call on the line, but I appreciate appreciate your thoughts.
No, thank you, brother.
And for maintaining a good mind and a good present, and continuing in the struggle. Take care. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Let's go to Lenita, who's been waiting. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. How are you?
I'm better, because I'm talking to good people like yourself.
I concur, and I agree with the previous caller, everything he said. I just wanted to remind and to kind of answer your question that in these difficult times, let's help our relatives, you know, buy a gift card, grab a bill, pay it for them, and don't hold it against them. You know what I mean?
Right. Go continue.
Do what we can with helping food banks. They can do a lot with our little $100 than we can in terms of buying food, because they have access to discounts when they buy bulk. I'm just humbled by all the people and restaurants here in Portland and Multnomah County that are kicking in to help people. It's truly humbling. I'm glad. I never thought I'd live to say this, but I'm glad I'm Oregonian during these times. And we still have to fight and don't get overwhelmed. And I think that's their playbook, right? So they overwhelm people to where they don't believe they can fight, but they can fight.
They can, and we can, and we must. And examples that you and others have said in terms of just helping our relatives. And, you know, one thing you said that I chuckled at is, you know, give and don't hold it over their head, you know?
We're too cool for that, right?
You know, I think people don't ask, because, you know, they've had that experience, like, oh, if I ask them, they're going to hold that over my head. But just give because you have, and because that's what neighbors do.
Right, right. It is what neighbors do, and that's what family and friends do. And I remember when my family had to eat out of, you know, people helped me. I want to send a shout out to the memory of Clara Peoples in Community Care. She would run out of her home. She would run a food distribution system from the grassroots. It was very grassroots rooted. And just want to thank, you know, she was also the brains behind Juneteenth, which is now a national holiday. So there are a lot of ways to help people. I don't want folks to get overwhelmed. And I think what happened, I mean, his 60-minute interview was bonkers, made no sense. And I just, this is the world we're living in. And it may take generations to ameliorate the harm that has been done, but I just want to encourage people, we can go into doom strolling, as someone who might go into what that term meant recently, or we can fight, and let's not get overwhelmed. Let's continue to fight.
Right.
Fight power.
That's right. And thank you for raising an example of people like Clara Peoples, who was able, I mean, for generations, decades, she reached out. She was a person who helped her neighbors. And, you know, that type of strength, that type of wisdom should encourage us all that ordinary people can do extraordinary things in reaching and making a difference in their neighbors' lives as we continue to struggle. You know, the macro struggle of against the system, we can reach out to see our neighbor who may need some food or shelter. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I want to thank you, Cecil. Again, I am a monthly contributor to KBOO, and I've had my battles with KBOO in the past. And now, you know, Grassroots News is doing okay. But I want to encourage folks to contribute and support Community Radio, KBOO, and Pacifica, where Democracy Now! Is downloaded from. These alternative types of communication is invaluable, especially with traditional media bending the knee.
Yes, that's a very important point. That's a very important point in terms of information and your observation that they are bending the knee and kissing the ring and kissing something else. But, you know, we need.
Well, I appreciate you and your engineer. I always taught my daughter to give love to the engineer and the people behind the mic. So thank you, Cecil, and thank you for, you know, showing up on this Monday at a steady click. It's hard, and I don't know if the public appreciates how hard you work, and it's just an honor to know you and to work with you, Cecil. You have a wonderful week, sir.
Thank you so much, Lenita. You as well. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO FM. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And our callers this morning have shared some of their thoughts about not only the nature of our society, but what we can do to make a change. We began this program with just the observation that while millions of people, hundreds of thousands of Oregonians will not receive assistance for food this month. There is so much we can do. Janet reminded us of the need to build solidarity. And if we're going to have groupthink, she said, let it be one of solidarity, including mutual aid. So what is it that mutual aid looks like? I think in every community, in every neighborhood, it depends. I'm aware of many communities locally and indeed nationally who are standing up against these mask kidnappers who are coming into our communities and stealing people from their homes, from their schools, from their shopping places, and how communities are standing up, you know, blowing whistles or shouting at and filming what is happening, how people are doing simple acts of kindness, of reaching out to their neighbors, of things that are helpful. So we thank you for Gleaners who are keeping relationships intact. Santiago reminded us that we should have a longer historical memory, and that if we are aware of the United States history, we become aware that this is not anything new. And although some people may be experienced the brutal arm of the United States, for many peoples and communities, this is how it has always been, and we can gain lessons from the struggles of other communities. Lanita reminded us of these difficult times and the need to help one another. Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. And let's hear what our next guest, Edie, has to say. Ooh, good morning, Edie.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can. There's a little background, but continue. Yes, we can hear you.
I want to agree with Lanita. I, too, have been giving monthly donations to KBOO, and I want everyone else who hears this to do, even if it's only $5, or you drop off $1 a month at the door, but please continue supporting KBOO. I agree with what Lanita and Santiago said, with some exceptions. I have spent over five decades trying to persuade folks to look at the American history of imperialism, racism, and the slavery of what you call Latinos or Hispanics or indigenous people. Has not been just 60 years. It's been since Christopher Columbus came enslaving people and selling them who were indigenous. And one reason why they're taking over the land of Mexico, that now what we call the United States, was for the land and enslavement of the people.
Yes.
I also am frustrated because though I've spent five decades telling folks the winner-take-all two-party system is set up to go against the needs of the people and the planet. And I have recommended or worked for different, volunteered for different parties.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, since 1998, it's not doable or functional. I think it's a waste of our time to be worrying, creating a third party, because there's been so much to prevent folks from being able to vote, from discouraging if they do vote, make it unsafe for them to vote. I have been saying, and we're still not doing what I want, of having the hardware that counts the votes and the software that counts the votes being owned and open software for us to see, instead of it being, since 1998, biased for corporations and those controlling both parties, predominantly Republican, to miscount or misreport, misstate the votes, so our votes don't count. We need to get rid of the electoral college and need to stop the gerrymandering, et cetera, et cetera. But at this point, even if we have the majority of Americans voting against war and escalation of climate change and racism and enslavement, and we vote for health care and food security, et cetera, the majority of us voting that way did not make that big a difference. Yes, I want people to vote. Yes, I want you to get out the vote. Yes, I want us to have good ballot measures and good people in position. I want us to hold them accountable every day of the year, all year, whether it's election or not. And it's not enough. I don't want it to be distracted by a third party when there's much more we need to do in creating the world we want, being the change we want. And one little thing we can do is to volunteer for and fund KBOO and work within our neighbors and to purge our inner Trump that we're doing ourselves, because that's where we have control.
Yes, and that's it's so important. And I think your observation, you know, you mentioned, you know, of, you know, decades of working, I think your observation of frustration with, you know, the current, you know, electoral system, just a reminder that, you know, democracy or whatever, it is more than electioneering, you know. And I don't think that we should be so dependent on like an election as if that will solve everything. There's so much more we have to do in the interim during, you know, elections. That democracy, it's one caller said, is a verb, it's an action word, it's not a noun. And you, I think from what I've observed, Edie, you in your action, in your living, you promote promote a better society. So thank you for your work and for reminding us that there's lots more to do and that we need to support independent media.
And I'm so sorry, listeners, and you, Cecil, that I couldn't accomplish the changes I wanted sooner better, but we still need to keep up the faith. As parents, we still love our children. When they bite us, they cry. We don't know why. They pee and poo and vomit on us and you know, destroy things. We still love them anyway, and we keep moving forward with that resilience and that bigger image. And we do that locally and every day.
Exactly. Locally and every day. And I came across a quote that I thought of as you were sharing, and I'll read it. It's from Fannie Lou Hamer, and she said one time, "Sometimes it seems like to tell the truth today is to run the risk of being killed. But if I fall, I'll fall 5 feet 4 inches forward in the fight for freedom. I'm not backing off."
Cecil, you are such a gift from God right now. Every day I get so frustrated as a Cassandra. You know, how can I be more effective? That I feel an assignment to say certain truths. And then at night, I sometimes will just, okay, here's an example of another person who spoke truth to power and they kept it up. Mm-hmm. And I can remember that phrase. Thank you again.
Well, thank
now,
you.
You've done so much to encourage my courage. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. Our last caller, Edie, was sharing some of her thoughts and the need to work and to build and be in community with one another. And she talked about, shared something about her decades of experience at looking at American history and imperialism and racism. And, you know, while frustrated by the winner-take-all two-party system, she continues to volunteer and to work for a different direction for our communities. So there's so much that people can do and so much people are doing. And as our last few callers reminded us, it's so important to have independent media. It is, you know, in the people who have been saying this for decades, and we've seen how media has been unwilling to challenge the powerful, and independent media is needed as the large corporate media continues to bow down before not only the regime but the American system, because it's part of this American system, is needed for people to get information. And so try to support in any ways you can, money and volunteer hours, to support community radio stations such as KBOO. And which you are listening to right now, this is More Talk Radio. I am Cecil, and our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We began this morning, this program this morning, by sharing about, you know, where we are and what our life situation and the carelessness of this present administration, and how they care very little for the vast majority of peoples. The ball or festival they had at Mar-a-Lago for Halloween is a sign of their inability to realize that real people are suffering. And maybe it's not an inability, because the cruelty is intentional, whether it is snatching people out of their cars when they are dropping off their children at school. Cruelty is intentional. Nevertheless, we are people who will not bow down, and as our callers mentioned this morning, and as others have, the need for solidarity and the need to build mutual aid. So what are some of the things that you are doing? What are some of the examples that people are doing to build solidarity? And what is it that you can do? An earlier caller made an observation in saying that for many, many people who have had an easy life, they are suddenly aware that things are not working well, and that they are being impacted by the cruel policies of this present administration. Well, as one caller said, you know, welcome to our world. And, you know, whenever one becomes aware, whenever the light bulb in one head shines, that's the time when you become activated. So whether you've been an activist such as Edie, who mentioned that she's been doing this work for 5 decades, or Janet, who just celebrated their 80th birthday, or whether you are someone who have been living your life and all of a sudden things are just not right, and for the first time you were able to say, well, I'm going to stand with my neighbors on the corner and hold a sign. Never in your life you did that, but you felt that I have to do something. And it's so important, whatever you are, wherever you are, there is something for you to do to make a difference. So let's hear about some of the ways that people are making a difference. Again, we have some callers online, so let's go to Francis, who has some thoughts to share. Good morning, Francis.
Hi, people. Talk to you in a while. First of all, I hope Mamdani wins in New York. I think there's a lot of things we can do. I have continued my membership in the ACLU because right now I think it's the only show in town as far as bringing cases to court and immigration law and civil rights and everything. I mean, they defend people in most all of the situations we're dealing with right now.
Right.
Also, giving to the food banks. I just think it's outrageous that over 40 million people in this country didn't get their food stamps or their SNAP this weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of families who are planning to do their grocery shopping this weekend and they don't get to.
Yeah.
So if we can help each other out in that regard, that's great. I think that just continuing to speak the truth wherever you can is a good thing.
Yes.
Because I notice people all the time who come from different perspectives than I, who have never thought of things certain ways.
Yes.
But once you explain them to a little bit, I see them turn around, you know, and it's surprising to me that so many people aren't aware and don't critically think. But once they get the notion or get the idea in their head and really start looking around, they can become very solid supporters or allies.
Right.
I do want to mention that I think the evil behind the Donald rests in people like Stephen Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly wish that his involvement and his warped evilness was more exposed in the media than it is.
Right.
That's why I can always continue to support KBOO and local OPB, you know, all the independent radio.
Thank you for last your
month,
support.
Last month we had a celebration of the a park, a little key notice parklet that was created. There's a mural and a little bench area in memory of Keaton, who was assassinated by the Portland Police Department 15 years ago.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the community has continued to maintain a vigil on the 12th of every month.
Of every month, yeah. That's thank you for raising that. And that's a wonderful example of community action.
Needs to happen, though, is that the manner in which he was killed and the people who assassinated him have never had to be accountable.
Right.
And someday that will happen. And I don't think there are many who will not rest until it does.
Yes.
I would invite people to go visit the little park lettuce on the corner of Northeast 6th and Halsey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful mural of Keaton and his father. And little bench area and couple of those little libraries.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very nice little spot. You know? And I'm pleased that it has been put in memory of Keaton and his spirit.
Thank you for raising that. Thank you.
All right. You guys take care.
Okay, well, you take care, Francis. It's good to hear from you again.
Excuse me, if I could say one thing. I have a friend who has passed on, but she was... She called herself a bohemian, not a hippie. But back in the day when I first met her, our minds were kind of on the same wavelength. And when she had a stroke and she couldn't talk, you know, but I could finish her sentences for her because I knew what she was trying to say. But whenever I saw her, she would greet me by, "It continues."
Mm,
and right now, we can say that every day, all day. It continues.
It continues. So thank you.
Keep on. All right. Take care.
I appreciate your thoughts. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. Next up is Sharon.
Thank you. I love that you have this show so we can all talk and not feel alone in this mess. I love what the other callers have said and agree with all that. just in terms of being able to support people, sometimes it's obvious, you know, it's a neighbor, you know, they know what they need. But sometimes it's overwhelming because, like, I think of the immigration and ICE and not like thinking, oh, my gosh, how would I possibly protect somebody, you know, or myself, if anything like that. And so one thing I have done is contacted and just keep their number for the PIRC, the Portland Immigration. Yeah, just keep it ready and look at their advice as to what they want you to do, just like you would be prepared for, like, I don't know, the Heimlich maneuvers, you know, in case somebody, which we want to be prepared for some of these things that will help our neighbors.
Right.
Or, you know, or know ourselves. So that's one thing I do. It gives me, it's a good feeling in the sense that I have some idea of how I might concretely be able to help somebody in these horrible situations. The fight continues. It's ongoing. I have hope, but this is a really rough time and there's some definite needs right now. And of course, food is another super one that is just, it's not like we can wait another decade for a change. It's,
no.
It's right now.
Right.
Yeah. So give to the food banks. Yeah. Give to your neighbors, obviously, but then give to food banks. They're the people we don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you. I just want to encourage people to maybe look at that website and get some ideas of what we could do to protect people that are just being pulled off the streets.
Right. Hey, thank you so much, Sharon. And thank you for looking out for your neighbors and reminding us we are not alone. Thank you for your calls to this morning. And for those of you who are listening and you see ICE, PIRC, you can contact them at 1-888-622-1510. You might want to put that in your phone so you can call them wherever you see ICE. Let's go to our next caller. I think Tangent is on the line. Good morning.
Yes, my people of Portland. I'm borrowing that from the baby boomer on KMHD at Fridays at 4 o'clock. If you haven't heard him, you might check him out. It's a lot of fun. I just want to pick everybody up there.
Okay.
I'll start with, to help us not be so overwhelmed, I've been working with this for some time. I want to know what a whelm is, and if we could just be simply whelmed. I'm just playing with these words, okay?
But we can be underwhelmed, but simply whelmed or... Okay.
Have you ever heard of an underwhelmed? I hadn't, but I thought there should be one, but then I thought we could just be somewhere in the middle, whelmed.
Wow.
Anyway, I'll play for Trump. I'll say, I'll parody another president, and I'll change the block of wood on his desk to "the bucks start here." The bucks start here. You there?
Yes.
Okay. Another president said the buck stops here.
Yes. Truman.
Truman, exactly. Yeah, I guess we can call him a false man or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now I want to do one thing, because just to show how these big lies go a long way back, when nuclear power was first proposed as a peaceful alternative, on energy source, they touted it as too cheap to meter.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually was way too expensive to measure. We had not added up any of the cost, and nobody could possibly do it. We don't know how to clean up the mess we've already created.
Right.
But here's how they lie, because when the city closed down Trojan, they actually, PGE, I think we're probably still paying them for the money that they would have made had it been not been so cheap to meter.
Tangent. We're running near the end of time, so let's get to a couple of points you want to make before I go on to the next caller. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's not only it was too expensive to measure, and then they actually charged us for money they wouldn't have metered. Okay. So the last thing about helping out, there's also, as well as food banks, there are local food boxes.
Mm.
There's two within, yes. And I want to tell you a short story about how one got created. Because one day this box appeared where it hadn't been before, and it said Opa's Box. And I asked the guy, well, who's Opa? What's Opa's Box? Oh, that's my dad. And in his will, he asked his son to please do this. So there's a cool thought.
Yeah, thank you.
Somebody's helping from the grave.
Thank you so much, Tangent. We appreciate your call. And we need to move on to our next call. But thank you for reminding us how we can be there for one another. Let's hear from Camilo. Good morning.
Hi. It's been a long time since I've shared my voice with
Yes.
So I just wanted to say I'm really very proud of today's group of callers who have joined in the call for resistance and for ideas about how to change things and keep us from the mounting despair that appears to be on our challenge. And it's good to know that we've really succeeded in putting up a good resistance, like in different parts of the country, Shel Masawant in Seattle, running for Congress now,
mm-hmm.
Mandami in New York City. And our city council has really made tremendous progress towards making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say, I remember one leader from SEIU who was always a speaker at May Day group meetings in the park.
Yes.
He always said, join an organization, and if you look for something that you can participate in and have relationships with other organizations, you're on your way to maintaining our defense.
Oh, wow. Appreciate that. Thank you. Wow. Hey, thank you, Camilo. It's good to hear from you. All right.
Keep it up.
Take care. And let's go to Tuwasi. Good morning. Are you there? Hey
there. You know, it's challenging to figure out how to cope with hunger when you're poor.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the government intentionally starved, you know, thousands of Native Americans here in Oregon, including by burning camas fields, dried fish stocks, acorn vaults, and, you know, forced marches, all kinds of ways they starved us out. But we're still here, so it didn't exactly work. But the reason we're still here and what you can do, regardless of whether you're indigenous or not, is organize a potluck. Organize with your neighbors a weekly potluck where you get together and share food with each other. And specifically, a leftover potluck where each person brings a large enough meal so that portions can be taken away after the gathering. You just create a gigantic pot of beans or a gigantic pot of stew or something. And then everybody brings a container. And after the party, as everyone's going home, they take leftovers so that they have food to eat that week. And, you know, this is a very, very powerful concept. It's such a powerful concept that the governments of Canada and the United States outlawed potlucks. Potluck culture in the Pacific Northwest is what sustained indigenous nations for thousands of years. The act of gift giving is a very sacred act, and it does amazing things for the entire human psyche. So organize a potluck with your neighbors, help them to be approachable about their hunger, and feed each other. Because it's going to take us feeding each other in the way that we used to in order to come through this. Please organize a weekly potluck with your neighbors.
Thank you so much, Tuwasi. In those few minutes, you gave example of what we can do and why we do it. So I appreciate it. Weekly potluck, leftover potluck. So there's portion to be taken home, and you build community. Thank you for the reminding us of Native people, and in spite of all that has been done, they are still here. And that's an inspiration and a guidance for all of us, that regardless of what the powerful may seek to do, there is a strength within us to not only to resist, but also able to thrive. There is the possibility of building community. In the midst of disappointment and despair, we can create points of hope, of inspiration, and of support for one another. So whether it is a potluck, and gathering with your neighbors, gathering together, it might be seeing how you can support a food bank in your community, what you can do to be there for one another, how you can build community. So you might be someone like Edie or Janet who worked for generations, for decades, or you might be someone who stood with a sign on your street corner for the first time ever because you just had enough. Whatever you can, wherever you can, you are important and can make a difference. One way we all are making a difference is by continuing to support local media such as KBOO. This is a means by which you can not only build community, but which we can transform our society. So consider what you can do, where you can do it, and whatever you can do, wherever you can do it, do it. This is More Talk Radio. I am Cecil Prescott. Thank you for joining us today, and take care of yourself and your community. I will talk with you next time.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934.